And we're holding Mem Hei Amud Beis, the second Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of the Nazir Tahar, when he shaves and brings his Karbanos, what the procedure is. So we dealt with the beginning of it. He brings three Karbanos. We said that he takes his hair and puts some of the gravy of the shlomim on it and puts it on the fire under the shlomim. And we talked about the various ins and outs and details of that. The Mishnah continues. Now the Nazir would be cooking the shlomim, or he would be shokan. Now the Mefarish over here learns that sholek means not fully cooked. On the other hand, Tosfos says it means overcooked. Yeah, this machlokas in a couple of other places in Shas also, where in various places in Shas it mentions this word sholek, and does it mean overcooked, or does it mean undercooked? Whatever the case, so the Nazir is cooking, is cooking or undercooking or overcooking the shlomim. Hakoyen noitolos azroya. Then the koyen takes the front leg, the front leg of the animal, specifically zroya. Specifically zroya means the upper part of the front right leg, b'shela, and it was cooked min ha'ayil from the ram. Now you have like this. In general, when a person brings a shlomim, you usually have there's the chaz of a shoik. There's the chest and the back right leg of the animal that are waved and given to the koyin. So here, this being a shlomim, you have those as well. But you also have something special with the shlomim, with the ram of a nazir, that you don't have with other korbanos. Those you do, the chaz of a shoik, you do when they're still raw. Here, instead, you're taking the leg after it's cooked, and you're waving it and giving it to the koyin. The Mefarish actually refers to a Gemara in Chulin that says that there's different opinions in the Gemara over there what the word b'sheva means. Does it actually mean cooked? In that case, then isn't there a problem that it's cooked together with the rest of the meat? Isn't the rest of the meat absorbing flavor from it? And here you have a piece which is reserved for the koyin. So it'd be the equivalent of like mixing truma with cholin or something like that. How can you do that? So that opinion therefore holds that the word b'shela is actually related to a word in Lashon Kodesh that means whole, that it has to be whole rather than cut up. How exactly the word b'shela comes to mean whole, Rashi says over there, I don't understand how. Tosfos says that it means b'shel la, as it is for itself, whatever the case. So according to that opinion, you actually wouldn't cook it together with the ram. You would cut it off first, and then you'd cook it separately and give it to the koyin. As opposed to the other opinion there says, and this is the way it's brought lahalacha, is you don't need to do that. They are in fact all cooked together, and then you cut it off. And in fact, the Gemara says over there, since this part of the leg is about 1/60th of the volume of the entire ram, and yet it doesn't answer it, we learn from that the concept of bittul in 1/60th. Anyway, this is the only time when you have that you take a piece of the korban that's already cooked and you wave it. Normally when you're waving parts of a korban, the chaz of a shoik or whatever, then it's usually when they're raw. So here he does that. Then also the nazir takes v'chalas matzah achas min asal, or a kik matzah achas. Now, along with his korbanos, the nazir brings 20 loaves of bread. All of them are matzah. All of them are unleavened. 10 of them are chalos, which are thicker loaves. 10 of them are rikikin, which are wafer-like thin loaves. So now he takes one chalos matzah, one of the thicker loaves, and one of the thinner loaves. So now he has altogether. He has those two plus he has the cooked zroya. The noisen al kapian nazir, the koyan places all of that on top of the hands of the nazir, umenifon, and he waves them, and he waves them to molchomevi malo morid, in all six directions, like a lulav. By the way, meanwhile, you also have, the Meiri points out, you do also have the Chos of Ashok are being waived as well, but those the Mishnah doesn't mention, because those are general to all Shlomim, and there's no need to mention them specifically over here. But yes, with the Ram of a Nazir, you have two different waivings, one of the Chos of Ashok, and one of this cooked Zeruya together with the two loaves of bread. And after that, now the Nazir is mutter to drink wine, and he's allowed to become Tomei Mes once the korbanos have been brought. On the other hand, Reb Shimon says you don't need to do everything first. As soon as the blood of one of the korbanos has been sprinkled, then already the Nazir is allowed to do those things. As opposed to according to the Tanakhama, you would need to do all of them. The Yerushalmi actually discusses, Rabbi Yochanan brings in the Yerushalmi, that even the Tanakhama would say that the lavim already go away as soon as the first blood is sprinkled. All it is you still have an Isser Eser, whereas Rabbi Shimon would hold that you don't even have that. Okay, so let's discuss that last point. The pasuk says, and after that, the Nazir can drink wine. Means achar amaisim kulon divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says it means after everything is done, meaning not only the korbanos but also the shaving. According to Rabbi Eliezer, not only does he have to have brought all three of the korbanos, but he also has to have shaved. Without that, his nazirus is not finished, and he'd still be also to do all the things that a nazir is not allowed to do. Whereas the Chum say after you do one single thing, meaning like Reb Shimon had said in the Mishnah, even if only one of the bloods was sprinkled, and even if he hadn't shaved yet.
There's a similar machloikas later on. There's a similar machloikas that comes out of the sugya as far as the shaving. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to first bring all three korbanos, and only then can you shave. And then according to the chachamim, you could shave after even only one of the korbanos. But then there are those who explain actually that maybe not. Maybe we did have a previous Mishnah that said Gilach Alachas Mishlosh Nyotza, that maybe everybody would agree that if you brought only one korban and then shaved, then B'diev and Yotza. So then the machlokas would just be, do you have to bring the other two korbanos in order to be mutter to drink wine and so forth, or is it enough that you brought only one korban? Okay. So let's discuss my time out Rabbanan. Why do the Chachamim say, that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, we understand easily enough. The pasuk is va'achar, and after that, implying after everything that was described in the previous psukim, the three korbanos and the shaving, then yishtan nozer yayin. So it's easy enough to understand why Rabbi Eliezer would say that you need all four things to be done. But my time out Rabbanan. But why do the Chachamim say that it's enough to just do one of the korbanos? And the answer is ksiv hocha va'acha, because they learn from gzeira shavim. Ksiv hocha va'acha yishta nazir yayin. Here the pasuk says afterward the nazir can drink wine. Uchtivasim acharis galchayis nizroi. A few psukim earlier it says that he does the tinufa, that he waves the zroya b'sheila and so forth after he had shaved his nizirus. So we make gzeira shavim. Ma hosim acha ma'isi yichidi. Just like over there, you're talking about after only one thing was done, because at that point he hadn't yet done everything. At that point he had only shaved. And the pasuk is saying achar in connection with the shaving. Afkan achar ma'isi yichidi. The same way when it says at the end achar. When it says at the end, v'achar yishtan nozer yayin, then the Chacham say the Gzeira Shavah teaches us that after only one of the things is enough and he can already drink wine. Well, the Gemara asks, Ema ad ikatavayu. Okay, but maybe still say that it means only that until you have both of them, until you have korbanos and shaving. The earlier pasuk acharis galchayas nizrei is telling you that after he shaves is when he waves the zroya b'sheila, but maybe in fact it would be that he has to actually have brought the korbanos as well. And the Gemara answers, "Yichachi gzeirah shava lamali." Well, in that case, what would we need the gzeirah shava for? Of course, the simple meaning of the pasuk would be that you have to have done everything. If we have a gzeirah shava, then it must mean that it's telling us that even before he's accomplished everything, then already he's mutter to drink wine and so forth. Now the Rosh asks the question. That what about though? You could still say that maybe the Gzeira Shava teaches us that the one thing you don't need in order for him to be mutter would be to do the tnufa, to do the waving. Maybe we would say without the Gzeira Shava, we would say you have to do everything, all three things: the korbanos and the shaving and the waving. And now the Gzeira Shava would tell us that you don't need the waving; it's enough to have done the other two. And the answer is the Rosh answer is because the fact is, according to the Chachamim, the tnufa. The waving is not even really considered. The Gemara is going to go on to say that that according to the Chachamim, neither the shaving nor the waving is ma'akiv. In other words, the same way as according to the Chachamim, if he didn't shave, he's still yotze. He didn't do the mitzvah of shaving, but nevertheless, his nezirus is over. The fundamental thing is that he brought his korbanos. They would say the same thing as the Gemara is going to go on to say about the waving. Well, therefore, there's no basis to say that without the waving, he should still be a nazir, such that we need a gzeira shava to tell us otherwise. So it must be then that the gzeira shava is telling us that even within the korbanos themselves, that you don't have to have brought all three of them. It's enough to have brought one of them, and the blood of one of them was sprinkled, and already then he's allowed to drink wine and so forth. So that's the Chachamim, and again, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Okay, so now let's discuss this point more about what is ma'akev and what's not ma'akev. Let's keep in mind that you have a number of different things that the Nazir is doing over here. He's bringing three korbanos. He's shaving his hair. He's waving parts of the korbanos. He's bringing three korbanos, where we can talk about how many of those he needs to bring. He's shaving his hair and he's waving parts of the korban. So what exactly is ma'akev and what's not? So the Gemara starts off, Omer Rav, tnufa b'nozer ma'akevus. The waving of the nozer is ma'akev, meaning if he doesn't do the waving of the parts of the korbanos, of the zroya b'shela, together with the two loaves of bread, then it's ma'akev, then it prevents him from finishing his nezirus, and he's still going to be also to drink wine, become tomei, and so forth. Well, the Gemara asks, Alibet Aman, according to who is Rav saying that? You're going to tell me it's according to the Chachamim in the Braisa, which is the same as Rav Shimon in the Mishnah. What do you mean? How could that be? Tiglachas ami Rabbanon loy ma'akva. If the Chachamim are saying that even the shaving is not ma'akiv, tnufa mi boya, would you need to say that the tnufa? How could you possibly say that the tnufa is ma'akiv? The shaving, after all, Tosfos points out, is something on the goof of the nozer. So the tnufa, we never find with other korbanos also, we never find that the tnufa is ma'akiv. Because with other korbanos, with a shlomim, for example, we take the chaz of a shoik and you wave them and give them to the kohen. If you didn't wave them, the korban is b'dieved kosher. So why should we think over here that according to the Chachamim, if they hold over here that even the shaving is not ma'akev, how is it possible that tnufa could be? Elal libedir Rabbi Eliezer. So you're going to say that Rav is saying his statement according to Rabbi Eliezer, which is the Tanakama of our Mishnah, that you need to have done all the ma'isim. So Rav is telling us that Rabbi Eliezer would say that not only about the three korbanos and not only about the shaving, but also about the waving. Well, the question is pshita. Isn't that obvious? Ha'omer Rabbi Eliezer, acha ma'isim kulam. Didn't Rabbi Eliezer say after everything? So everything includes the tnufa. The answer is, without Rav telling us ma'u detema, you might have thought that you would say kivin de la'inin kapara shiore mitzvah. Since the fact is, when it comes to kapara, the tnufa in general is only considered shiore mitzvah. It's only considered the remainders, the leftovers of the mitzvah. Meaning, we have a number of times when the Torah tells us to do something, and it's saying, but that thing is not ma'akev. You should do it, and if you do it, then you have a mitzvah of doing it. But if you don't, then it's not ma'akev, and the kapara has been accomplished anyway. So you haven't done, if you don't do it, you know, you haven't done mitzvah and amuvcha. The Tosfos quotes from Gemara and Zvachim that uses the expression that if a person treated tshnufa as shorei mitzvah, if he treated it as the remainder of a mitzvah and didn't do it, then the posuk considers it as if loy kippur. The posuk considers it as if he wasn't mechaper, but really he is mechaper. He just didn't do mitzvah and amuvcha. So the same was now. So now you would say over here. So you would think hochanami loy ta'akiv. You would think by the same logic here, it shouldn't be ma'akiv according to Rabbi Yezer, because if it's shiori mitzvah everywhere else, it should be considered a shiori mitzvah over here also. So no, kamash malon. Therefore, Rav wants us to know that it's not like that here when it comes to the here when the pasuk says va'achar, and Rabbi Yezer does not hold of the gzeder shava that we said before from the word achar that can mean only some things. So he holds that in fact the nozer has to have done everything and only then can he drink the wine. Well, then the everything includes the tznufa as well, and therefore it is ma'akiv. So the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Menachas that explains what's the logic according to Rabbi Yezer. Why should that be? Because here by the Nozir, it also says the word Yase, which he says means that it's ma'akiv, which you don't have that expression. You don't have that expression by other korbanos. So now the Gemara asks, Umi ma'akva, how could you tell me though that the tnufa of a nazir according to Rabbi Eliezer is ma'akiv? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa about tnufa. The pasuk says, Zois Torah ha'nazir. The pasuk says, this is the Torah of the nazir that he brings his korbanos. And that means all nazirim, ben sheyesh le'kapayim, ben she'en le'kapayim, whether the nazir has hands or whether he doesn't. So what if his hands were amputated? So now, obviously, if his hands were amputated, then he can't do the tznufa. So the Gemara is assuming that it means that just like if he doesn't have hands and he can't do the tznufa, then he doesn't need to, he's still yotze. The same way, even if he has hands, then nevertheless, that shouldn't be ma'akiv. So Tosfos also adds that the Gemara is assuming at this point that this braisa can only be according to Rabbi Eliezer, because according to the Chachamim, there'd be no reason to say it anyway. According to them, they have the Gzeira Shava that even the shaving is not ma'akiv. How much more so the tnufa? Because we said before again that the shaving is on his own goof. The tnufa is less so. It has to do more with the korban. So therefore, the Gemara is assuming that A, this braisa is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and B, that this braisa, since it says that it works even if the nazir has no hands, then it bepashtus, it would mean that even if he has hands and failed to do the tznufa, then also he would be yotze. So in that case, then that would contradict what Rav is saying. Well, the Gemara answers back. The Ela Hodatanya knew, and according to your question, you have to consider what about another braisa? Another braisa says Zois Teras HaNozir, that again from those same words Zois Teras HaNozir, and we know that part of the procedure of the nazir is that he has to shave. And a braisa says Bein Sheyesh Lo Seir Bein Sheein Lo Seir, whether he has hair or whether he doesn't have hair. What if a person is bald and became a nazir? So either way, the braisa is saying that he's yotze and he doesn't have to do the shaving. And hochinami d'loy ma'akva. So are you going to tell me then that in that case that if he doesn't have hair, it's not ma'akiv, and it's then according to Rabbi Eliezer that is, and it's he wouldn't have to shave. So according to the Chachamim, for sure it wouldn't be ma'akiv because they already have their gzeirah shava. So now you're talking according to Rabbi Eliezer. Are you going to say that in the case of the shaving man, he doesn't have to do anything at all? V'hatanya, but we have another braisa that says nazir memorat, a nazir who is bald. Beshamai says he still has to pass a razor over his head, meaning there's no hair to actually shave over there. But Beshamai still says he needs to take a razor and move it around over his head in order to be mekayim what the pasuk says that we learned the other day that you have the pasuk that says that as long as he's a nazir, tar lo yaver arosha. And he said we infer from that that once his nazirus is over, once melois hayamim, then a razor should pass over his head. So Beis Shammai says that he actually has to do that. He has to physically take a razor and pass it over his head, even though there's no hair to actually shave. So now, by the same token, should we maybe say by the person who has no hands, maybe you still need to do tznufa, maybe the koyan still needs to hold the zroya b'sheila and so forth over the hands of the nazir? But that's according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says he does not need to put a razor over his head, meaning he's bald. Putting a razor is not going to help anyway. So therefore, it's not ma'akiv. And Beis Hillel says that he does need to pass a razor over his head. Now, when we say that he doesn't need the Amar Ravina, so Ravina clarifies that you should know, my Einet Sorich, Beis Shammai, what does Beis Shammai mean when they say he doesn't need, means Einet Sorich the Ein Loi Takana, means actually Ein Loi Takana. It means actually, according to Beis Shammai, he doesn't need to, and there's no Takana, because according to Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, what happens is that since he's bald and there's no giluach possible, then Beis Shammai is going to say that he cannot do the giluach at all, because the mitzvah of the Torah is that he should shave. And in this case, he has no hair. In this case, he has no hair to shave. So therefore, Beis Shammai is going to say that ein tzorich, he doesn't need to, but means ve'ein lo takana. There's no takana for him. Meaning, in other words, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would mean that. So if we understand Beis Shammai like Rabbi Eliezer, it would mean there's no way for him to ever finish his nazirus because there's no hair for him to shave. According to the Chachamim, it would mean that there's no way for him to accomplish the mitzvah of giluach. Meanwhile, Beis Hillel would be saying that he can still accomplish that by putting a razor on his head, even though there's no actual hair to shave. Anyway, the point is, therefore, so you see, therefore, the Braisa is obviously not saying that the one who has hair and the one who doesn't have hair are the same thing. And then you're going to say that the shaving is not active at all. Because then what is the Braisa saying? The Braisa is saying, the way Ravina understands it, that it's sorich ve'ein lo takana. There's actually no way of fixing up the situation. But if he has hair, if he has hair, then he could shave. And if he doesn't, he can't shave. And according to Beis Hillel, we're saying that either way, he needs to put a razor over his head. So obviously, therefore, the Braisa is not coming to equate the two kinds of Nazirim. All it's trying to tell you is that there is something that can be done by each one. Well, then the same way by the Nazir who has no hands, maybe what we're saying is if he has hands, he has to wave. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, if he doesn't, then he's not, then he hasn't finished his Nazirus. Whereas if he doesn't have hands, then all he needs to do is he uses the stumps of his arms. So you could understand it that. So if you understand it that way, then the Braisa is not, then the original Braisa at the top of the Amud about whether he has hands or not is not a question on Rav, because Rav was saying that the Tnufa is ma'akiv. Very well, the Braisa is saying Bein Shiyesh LeKapayim, Bein LeShein LeKapayim doesn't mean that he doesn't have to wave at all. It means if he has hands, he does it with his hands. And if he doesn't, he does it with the stumps of his arms. So therefore we could understand it that way, and therefore it's not a contradiction on Ra. In fact, Tosfos points out that the Gemara could have just as well, why did it even need to bring the Braisa about the hands? It could have right away said that according to the Chachamim, Tiglachas is not ma'akiv anyway, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, it is. So without even bringing this Braisa of Nozer Memorat, we would have really had the same question as well. Anyway, continues the Gemara, V'hainu derab Pedos. Now, when we understand that, when we understand Bis Shammai and Bis Hillel the way that Ravina did, then it comes out that it's saying the same thing as Rabbi Pedos said. Rabbi Pedos says that you should know Bis Shammai and Rabbi Eliezer are saying effectively the same thing, which is actually not so surprising. Rabbi Eliezer himself is often, throughout Shas, is kind of the representative of Bis Shammai. Yeah, Bis Shammai and Bis Hillel were mostly during the time of Shammai and Hillel themselves, but their machloikasim continued to a certain extent in the next generation as well, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer in general are the representatives of Bis Hillel and Bis Shammai in the next generation. But here, Rabbi Pedos is telling us that in this particular aspect, Rabbi Eliezer and Bis Shammai are basically saying the same thing as far as somebody who's lacking certain things, that certain body parts that the Torah mentions in connection with the mitzvah. So here we were talking about as far as a nazir who's bald, so therefore he doesn't have the mitzvah of shaving. And we said that Ravina understands Bis Shammai to be saying Ainit Sorech means Eimoy Takana, meaning that there's no way for him to accomplish the mitzvah, as opposed to Bis Hillel had said that he can accomplish the mitzvah by putting a razor on his head, even though there's no hair to shave. So now, Rabbi Eliezer and Bis Shammai says Rabbi Pedos are saying the same thing, namely that Rabbi Eliezer is going to say in a different context about a mitzvah, you have a similar kind of thing. So my Rabbi Eliezer, where do we see Rabbi Eliezer's opinion on that? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Eimoy Boyan Yad Beregel, if a mitzvah does not have a thumb or a big toe. Now, the Pasuk tells us in Parashas Mitzvah that when a mitzvah becomes Tahor, and he also brings korbanos. One of the korbanos he brings is an osham, and the kohen takes blood from that osham and applies it to his right ear, to the cartilage of his right ear, and then to his big thumb, and then to his thumb of his right hand. So then to the thumb of his right, to his right thumb, and also to his right big toe. And then afterwards, then the kohen goes along and then continues and puts on their oil as well. There's the mitzvah also brings together with his korbanos a lug of oil, and the kohen goes on and places oil on those three places as well. So now what happens if the mitzvah doesn't have a thumb, doesn't have a right thumb, or doesn't have a right toe, doesn't have a right big toe? So the braisa says, "Ein leitara ilamis divrei Rabbi Eliezer." Rabbi Eliezer says there's no way for that mitzvah to ever become tahor because he can't accomplish what he needs to. Reb Shimon says all you have to do is place it in the place where the thumb or the toe was. So you put it on the stump over there. V'yotza, and then he's yotza. V'cham oimim, the cham say another possibility. Yaniach al shol smol v'yotza. He can put the blood on the left thumb or the left or the left big toe, and he's also yotze. So both of them hold. In other words, Rav Shimon and the Chachamim both hold. If you can't do exactly as it says in the pasuk, then you use alternatives. You put it on the stump where it was, or you put it on the left instead of on the right. The point being, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that not. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that if you can't do it in the right place, on the actual right thumb or on the actual right toe, then there's nothing you can do. So by the same token, then Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, and Rabbi Pedos is saying that Bis Shammai is saying the same thing. Therefore, that understanding of Bis Shammai is exactly the same as what Ravina had said. Namely that Ravina had said that Bis Shammai had said that when we say a bold nazir ainet sarich doesn't mean ainet sarich, he doesn't need to do anything at all. On the contrary, it means ainet sarich, there's nothing that he can do because there's no hair for him to shave, and even putting a razor on his head, like Bis Hillel says, is not going to help. So we see, therefore, that Rabbi Avina agrees with Rabbi Pedos. They both understand Bis Shammai the same way, and that understanding of Bis Shammai is also equal to the understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, we're still left with then that fine. Rav had said that Tnufa is ma'akiv, meaning that if you didn't do the Tnufa then, and we establish that that's according to Rabbi Eliezer, that you're not Yotze. Well, exactly. What that means is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to have hands in order to be able to do in order to do the tenuva. So now we're going to understand. Now we're going to understand the braisa, like we said before, that uh, that that uh, when we said that, we said Ben Sheyesh LeKapayim, Ben Sheyin LeKapayim, whether he has hands or not. Now we're going to understand that what that means is whether he has hands or whether or not he needs to do tenufa. And since he cannot do tenufa because he doesn't have hands, then therefore Rabbi Eliezer is going to say no good. Or actually, maybe what it would mean is, Tosfa says, maybe what it would mean is that that in fact, even then, fine, you could say that his, the stumps of his hands are still considered, are still considered his hands to the extent that you could, to the extent that he could do tenufa with those. Now, Tosfos also brings that Tosfos, all the Tosfos for the Sugya are printed on Amud Aleph, that actually Tosfos brings a different gusa, which is like this. All this time we were saying, let's review the Sugya then. We said that Rav had said that Tenufa is ma'akil. We said, what about the Braisa that says whether he has hands or whether or not he can still do the Tenufa? Then the Gemara said, on the other hand, when you consider the Braisa with the hair, then you see that's not what it means. In that context, we had the Omer Ravina, that Ravina said that that, and once we brought a Braisa about the hair and about Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel, then Ravina informs us, you should know, when Bes Shammai says, Ein et Tzorich means Ein loy takon. Tosfos brings a different Girsa that has, instead of the Omer Ravina, instead you have Omer Ravina, without the Vav. And in that case, that changes things. And in that case, that changes things a great deal. What it means is that the flow of the Gemara now would go somewhat differently. That part that Tosfos is discussing is actually later on in the Sugya. So no, we'll continue on where we are. Right now, we just have the one understanding, which is that so far the Gemara has established that according to this Lashon that we had so far, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, yes, the tenufa is ma'akev, and in fact, if the person doesn't have hands, then there's no way for him to be able to accomplish the mitzvah. So now the Gemara continues, Lishna Achrina Amila. Now there's a different version of how the sugya goes. According to the second version, rather, the flow is as follows. Omer Rav, tenufa benazir ma'akeves. That the tenufa of a... the Rav says the tenufa of a nazir is ma'akev. He doesn't do the tenufa, then he can't. His nazirus is not over. And again, the Gemara asks, like it did before, Aliba Deman, who is that like? Now, in the first version, the Gemara said it can't be like the Chachamim, it has to be like Rabbi Eliezer. So now, in the second Lashon, we're going the other way around. Are you going to say that statement of Rav is according to Rabbi Eliezer? Pshita, isn't that obvious? Ha'omer Rabbi Eliezer la'achar ma'isim, kulam. Didn't Rabbi Eliezer say it's only after all the ma'isim? So you're going to say that Rav's statement is according to the Chachamim. How could it be? If the Chachamim are saying that even the shaving, which is on the goof of the Nazir, is not ma'akev, tenufa mibaya, would you need to say that tenufa is that tenufa is ma'akev? How is that possible? Why should it be ma'akev according to them? And the answer is, the Gemara asks back, v'chil u'mi loy ma'akva. So what you're telling me, according to the Chachamim, tenufa would not be ma'akiv. Now, in the first version, we had the Gemara now brought this braisa about Zoris Teres and Nazir and asked and said that braisa seems to be according to Rabbi Eliezer, but even according to him, it seems it's not ma'akiv. Now, in the second Lashon, the Gemara is going the other way around. That the Gemara is going to bring this braisa and say that on the face of it, this braisa is according to the Chachamim, and say that even according to them, apparently tenufa is ma'akev. V'hatanya, zos teres anozer ben sheyesh lekapayim, ben shein lekapayim. The Braisa says that when it says zos teres anozer, it means whether he has hands or whether not. Now what we could understand is, unlike at the top of the Amud, where we understood that to mean that either way he doesn't have to do the tenufa, now maybe let's understand the other way around. That just like a nozer who has no hands is not able to do the tenufa, and therefore he can't be yotze. The same way, even if he has hands, he still has to do it. So fine, the Chachamim may say that Tanufa is not ma'akiv, but they might say that he has to have the ability to do Tanufa. So if he has hands and then not, and he doesn't do it, fine. Maybe you could say it's not. Maybe you could say it's not ma'akiv. But if he doesn't have, it sounds like he is. So therefore, it comes out, if we understand it that way, then we would say, according to the Chachamim, in fact, we would say that Tanufa is ma'akiv. That we would say just like so. In the first lashon, we said that if he has no hands and he can't do tnufa, and then we're saying that it's not ma'akiv. The same way, even if he has hands, it's also not ma'akiv. Now we're going to argue the other way around. We're going to say just like by one who has no hands, it's ma'akiv, because we can apply the rule kolo roi labila. Whenever you have something that's impossible to do, then it's ma'akiv. And here it's impossible because he doesn't have hands. So then we would say that maybe we would learn that in fact, even if he has hands and he fails to do the tenufa, then he's not yotze. Now this braisa, the Rosh points out, this braisa is learning from the word zois teras anozer. If it was according to Rabbi Eliezer, then instead he says we learn from ba'achal yishta anozer yain. We learn from the word achar. So obviously, therefore, now the Gemara is assuming in the second lashon that this braisa would be according to the Chachamim. And now let's take the understanding that it means that either way he has to do the tenufa, and if not, it's ma'akiv. So what are you telling me then? So again, when we go back to Rav's statement, tenufa benozer ma'akeves. So on the face of it, maybe that statement of Rav is in fact according to the Chachamim. So maybe according to the Chachamim, then even though tiglachas, even though shaving is not ma'akiv, maybe tenufa is.
He has no arms, mean, or just
so whether either way, that's the thing. Because the Braisa is comparing whether he has no hands or whether he has hands, we would say if he has no hands, certainly we would have good reason to say it's ma'akiv, because we would say that he doesn't even have the possibility of doing it. So therefore, we would draw an analogy from that even if he does have hands, nevertheless, he still has to do it or he's not yotze. So maybe we could say that Rav's statement in the second version is in fact according to the Chachamim. But the Gemara answers back, the Ella Hodetanya. Again, what are you going to do though with the braisa about the hair? Nozer memoda, it's a bald nozer. Rather, the braisa says, Zois teras anozer, bein sheyesh loseir or bein shein loseir. That Zois teras anozer also teaches us that it's the same thing, whether he has hair or whether he doesn't have hair. So again, are you going to say, Hokinami de ma'akva? Are you going to tell me, according to the Chachamim, that the shaving is ma'akva if he doesn't have hair? V'hatanya nozer memorat. Doesn't it say in another braisa that if a nozer is bald, b'shamayim ein tzarich lahavir tar al roshay, b'shamayim says he does not have to pass a razor over his head, or b'silam tzarich, and b'silam says he does need to. So you see, therefore, that Bishama is saying he doesn't need to. Bishilo was saying that he does need to, but all he needs to do is pass a razor over his head, even though there's nothing to shave. So it sounds like, according to both Bishama and Bishilo, the fact that he can't shave is not ma'akiv. So therefore, the Braisa now would mean that just like a nozer who has hair has to shave, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's ma'akiv, according to the Chachamim, it's not. The same way, if he doesn't have hair, he still has to do a movement of shaving. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be ma'akiv, and according to the Chachamim, not. Well, the same thing. We should understand the first braisa, the earlier braisa about the hands, the same way. If he has hands, then he needs to wave it with his hands. And if he doesn't, then he can still wave it using the stumps of his arms. So if you understand it that way, then you would say that maybe in fact the tenufa is ma'akiv by a nozer. But rather, in other words, the previous braisa is not saying that it's ma'akiv. It's saying that there is always a way for the nozer to accomplish it. There is either he can use his hands or he can use the stumps of his hands. But not necessarily that we're saying that tenufa would be saying that if he has no hands, there's no way to do it. The same way as we're not saying that a nozer is bald, there's no way to do it. We would say, according to Beis Shammai, he doesn't even need to do anything, and according to Beis Hillel, he needs to pass a razor over his head. But the Gemara answers back, not necessarily, because Omer Rabbi Avina, because Rabbi Avina answers. might tzorich lebeis hillel, because you could answer that when beis hillel says tzorich means tzorich ve'en lo takana, means that he needs to pass a razor over his head, but there's nothing that he can do because, in fact, because there's no hair to shave.
Isn't that so? The one who said that you have to move the
Well, that's the thing. Until now, we were understanding this Hillel to be saying that you just put a razor on his head and he's yotze with that. Now Rabbi Avinah is saying that no, this Hillel means there has to actually be hair to shave. And if there's no hair to shave, then there's nothing you can do. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be ma'akev, and according to the Chamim, it's fine, it's not ma'akev, but he's not able to accomplish the mitzvah of giluach. Well, Beis Shama, yesh le'takana, whereas according to Beis Shama, there's still, he could do that by passing a razor over his head without doing anything, without it actually cutting any hair at all. In which case, if we understand it that way, then it would mean that Rabbi Avinah disagrees with Rabbi Pedos. Before we had Rabbi Pedos saying that Beis Shammai and Rabbi Eliezer are saying the same thing, that they're both saying that in a case where you don't have a certain body part, then you can't be yotze. We had in the case of the Metzora, Rabbi Eliezer had said he has no thumb or no toe, then he can't ever finish his Nezirus. Now, if we understand Beis Shammai to be saying tzorich, meaning that Beis Shammai, that just the opposite, we'd be saying Beis Hillel will be the ones who say that a Nazir who's bald has no alternative. Beis Shammai would be the ones who are saying tzorich, he needs to do something, he needs to pass a razor over his head. Then it would come out that Beis Shammai is more like the Chachamim or Reb Shimon in the case of the Metzora. Then in that case, then Rabbi Avinah necessarily would be disagreeing with Reb Pedos, because Reb Pedos's understanding of Beis Shammai would be that there's no way for the Metzora to shave, there's no way for him to accomplish the mitzvah of shaving, whereas according to Rabbi Avinah's understanding, on the contrary, you would say that Beis Shammai would say there is a way to. Now, here's where Tosfos brings on Amud Aleph that there is a different girsa in the Gemara over here, which is that instead of Omer Rabbi Avinah, instead of the Gemara saying that Rabbi Avinah says that understanding the Braisa differently, instead the girsa would be Ha Omer Rabbi Avinah. Didn't Rabbi Avinah say? Meaning, in other words, that then the flow of the Gemara would be like this. We're saying that whether he has hair or whether or not, then he still has the mitzvahs of nizibs. And then we have another braisa that says that Beis Shammai says he doesn't need to, and Beis Hillel says he doesn't, and Beis Hillel says he does need to. So now we would understand then that now we would say that the braisa is saying that when he has hair, he has a mitzvah of shaving. Then we would say the same way where he doesn't have an hair, he has a mitzvah of putting a razor on his head. The same way we would say the same thing as far as the hands, that either way he uses his hands or he uses his arms. And now we would say Ela Hod Omer Ravina. Then we would say that Ravina is saying that no. That maybe the silo means tzorich ve'ei ma'takana, that in other words, when it comes to the hair, it is ma'akiv, and the same way when it comes to the hands, it is ma'akiv. So in other words, the flow of the Gemara would be like this. V'hatanya, didn't we learn in a braisa, nozer memorot, a bald nozer, v'shamim ein etzorich la'avitara rosh v'silom tzorich, v'omer abavina, and so now we would have, instead of omer abavina, we would have instead of Omer Rabbi Avinah, we would have the Omer Rabbi Avinah. My tzorich lebeis hillel, tzorich ba'in la takana. You should know what does beis hillel mean by tzorich? Means there's no way of fixing it up. Which the implication would be, hol beis shammai yesh la takana. According to beis shammai, you could do that by putting a razor on, even though there's no hair to cut. Or pliga derab pedos. In which case, Rabbi Avinah is disagreeing with Rabbi Pedos, meaning again, Rabbi Pedos had said that Beis Shammai and Rabbi Eliezer hold the same way, and according to Rabbi Avinah, it's for two different reasons. Rabbi Eliezer would say that when the Metzora has no thumb or no big toe, he can't do anything at all, whereas Beis Shammai is saying that the Nozir with no hair can't do anything at all, but rather that he can put a tar on, he can put a razor on his head. So that would mean that according to that, it would come out that the braisa that said zeris teras hanozer, whether he has hair or whether he doesn't have hair, either way, the same dinim apply. That would be according to Beis Shammai, and it would mean the same either way. He has to put a razor over his hair. In one case, he's shaving, and in the one case, he's not. So now, when it comes to the braisa about the hands, we'd understand the same way. The same way as if he has hands, he does the tnufa with his hands. If he doesn't, then he uses his arms. So that would mean, in other words, that would mean
There's no proof from these braises that Tnufa is ma'akev, like Rav had said. So maybe we could say Tnufa is ma'akev, but we don't have a proof for it from the braises. Then Tosfos goes on to say that you can't say that this braise would be like this hilo, because if what do you mean this hilo would say tzorich ve'en le'takana? En le'takana, as far as what? According to the Chachamim, you don't even need the hair cutting in the first place. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't need Zois Teres HaNazir. He already learns it from the drasha, from the word Achal. So therefore, that's a different way of explaining the Gemara based on a slightly different girsa, that not Omar Rab Ovin, which is a new statement, but Ve Omar or Elohod Omar Rab Avina, which is that he's clarifying what we said before, and therefore we come out. So in any case, the point is, so now what's the actual halacha in these cases when it comes to the nazir who has hands or doesn't have hands? So. Well, first, actually, let's talk about when it comes to the nazir who has hair or doesn't have hair. The Rambam paskin that he doesn't even need to use a razor at all. Which, according to the first lashon over here, comes out according to Beis Shammai. Usually, we paskin like this hilo, but this would be a rare example where we paskin like Beis Shammai. Then we would say, according to the second lashon, also, yeah, according to both lashonis, because either way, Beis Shammai is saying ain't it tzorich lahavir tar, he doesn't need to pass a razor, and now we'd be saying that. So that would mean, in other words, he doesn't need to do anything at all. As far as on the face of it, it's like Beis Shammai, but you also have the point. Really, the halacha is like the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer. Anyway, the halacha is that the shaving is not ma'akev. Therefore, there's no reason for him. Therefore, even if he can't do the shaving, he's still yotze. He doesn't need to actually pass a razor over his bald head. And as far as the no hands, similarly, the Rambam paskins also that he can still bring his korbanos for the same reason, because even though we're saying that Rab is saying Tnufa is ma'akev, that would only be according to Rabbi Eliezer, according to the Chachamim, if Yiluach is not ma'akev, then certainly Tnufa is not, and therefore the result is that he's yotzer. That he's yotze and he doesn't need to do anything else. As far as the case of the Metzora, where he needs to wave, there the Rambam paskins differently. There the Rambam paskins, like the Chachamim in the Mishnah over there, or like Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah over there, that says that if he doesn't have a thumb or a toe or whatever, aim like Tara Elamis, then he can never become Tahar. So this is actually Mesoras Hashas points out that there's a different sugya that brings this braisa and actually has the opinions flipped around. That it's the Chachamim who say that Ein Lo Tara Elamis, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you can put it on the left side and be yotze. So our sugya has one version of it, but a different sugya has it the other way around, and the Rambam is paskining like that. The Rambam is paskining like that other sugya, or actually even like the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the Goyim actually addresses this. This here the Gemara had brought a braisa, but you actually have a Mishnah in the Goyim that deals with this. And in the Mishnah over there, you have that the Tanakhama says that Ein Lo Boyin Yad, etc., Ein Lo Tara Elamis. Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says you can put it on the stump, and Rabbi Shimon says you can put it on the left side, unlike Or Gemara, which has it in a different order. Or Gemara has it that Rabbi Eliezer says that he can never become Tara. Rabbi Shimon says you can put it on the stump, and the Chachamim say you put it on the left. The Mishnah in the Goyim actually has the opinions flipped around, and the Rambam is paskin according to the Chachamim in that Mishnah. And therefore, the result is that if he doesn't have a thumb or a toe, then he can never become Tahar. So there is, in fact, a difference between that and the nazir
Because by the nazir, we're establishing over here that it is Rabbi Eliezer who's saying that the shaving and the waving are ma'akim, and the chacham say that not, and we don't have any other opinion on that. So therefore, we can follow the opinion of the chachamim and say that it's not ma'akim. Whereas by the nazir, again, you have the Mishnah in Nergoyim that says differently, that has their opinion differently than our Gemara over here, and the Rambam is passing like that.
So the Gemara is passing over there with according to Lishacher.
So it comes out, in other words, that over there, the Mishnah is different than we have the Mishnah over here. This is one of the, Tosfos calls this kind of thing, sugyas hafuchas. Sometimes you have different sugyas that take opposite views on who holds what or what the conclusions are that we would come from it. This is one of those examples. So here, if we followed our Gemara over here, we would end up saying that the Nazir and the Metzora have to be identical. If we establish that by the nazir, the shaving and the waving are not ma'atib, and therefore that if he doesn't have hair, he doesn't have to do anything, and if he doesn't have hands, he doesn't have to do anything. We ought to say the same thing by the mitzvah, but the difference is by the mitzvah we have the Mishnah in Negoyim and a different sugya elsewhere in Shas that quotes that Mishnah, that quotes the opinions differently, and the Rambam is passing according to that. So it comes out, even though or based on our Gemara, you would say they ought to be identical. In fact, it comes out that they end up being opposites. In the case of the mitzvah, it's ma'akiv. In the case of the nazir, it's not.
So it means that they can always stay some tzaras. Like what means he can't become?
Means he can't. No, he doesn't remain a mitzvah, but it means he remains a mechusa kapara. He can never come into the Beis Hamikdash, and he can never eat kodshim.
Oh,
yeah. It's okay. Yeah. The Mishnah continues. Gila chalazevach. Yeah, you still there? Gila chalazevach benimtza posel. Suppose that the nazir shaved in connection with the korban, so he brought one of the three korbanos, and it turned out that the korban was posel. Tiglach de psula, then the din is the shaving is possible or zvacha by ololoi, and the rest of the korbanos that he brought doesn't count, because what happened is, in effect, now it's the equivalent of him having been shaved by Liston that we talked about before. Now he's going to need another 30 days growth of hair in order to be able to finish his nazirus. So therefore, the other korbanos that he brought are also they're not possible in the sense that they're still a shlomim is still a shlomim, an ola is still an ola. But in other words, he's not yotze. He can't say that I brought some of my korbanos and I'm going to bring the rest of my korbanos later. No, he hasn't brought any of them. Because that korban turned out to be possible for whatever reason. Tosfos gives examples. Let's say, for example, the blood of the korban was spilled before they sprinkled on the mizbeach, or the blood was taken out of the azara, or the blood became tumah. So in all those cases, then we say it's the equivalent of gilchul listing. Gilach halachatas shaloi b'shma. What happens if he shaved? What happens if he brought the chatas and then shaved, and it turns out the chatas was brought shaloi l'shma? Now a chatas is one of only two korbanos that, if it's brought shaloi l'shma, is posel. Most other korbanos, you bring them shaloi l'shma, the korban is still kosher. You're just not yotze with it. But here, a chatas that was shechted or the blood sprinkled or whatever shaloi l'shma actually is posel. And then he brought the rest of his korbanos again, the lishman, he brought them lishman, still to glachdip sulo, zvachab le ololoi, again, his shaving is posel, and the korbanos don't count for the same reason, because again, the shaving was no good, and therefore he needs another 30 days.
What's wrong with just bringing down the chattas?
Because it's like this, in other words, in effect, he shaved before he brought the chattas was posel. So in effect, he shaved before he brought any of the korbanos. Even the chachamim, we said before, holds he has to bring at least one of the korbanos in order to shave.
Oh, so the
chattas
was the first one, and
yeah.
That was the
ahak. Yeah. Gila ala What if he shaved on the ola or on the shlomim, meaning he brought the ola or the shlomim first, and again they were brought shaloi l'shman. So now an ola or a shlomim that are brought shaloi l'shman, they are a kosher korban. However, they don't count for his chayva. So therefore, the same thing. If then he brought the rest of his korbanos l'shman, same thing. To glach the psula is vachav le'ololoi. Then his shaving his posel on the korbanos don't count. Reb Shimon Omer, here Reb Shimon disagrees and says, Oysa zevach le'ololoi. No, only that particular korban doesn't count for him. Avol shav zvachim olu, but the other korbanos do count, because Reb Shimon is going to say in the Gemara that it doesn't have to be that the nazir shaves in connection with the shlomim that he's required to bring. Even if he were to shave in connection with a shalmi nedava, he would still be yotze. Well, then, in effect, this becomes a shalmi nedava. It becomes a voluntary shlomim. It's still a kosher shlomim. Unlike chakas, which shalom l'shma is possible, a shlomim shalom l'shma is kosher. It just doesn't count for his chayva. Still, Reb Shimon says that's not a problem. His shaving is still kosher. But yeah.
First of all, then we learned that if he sold the story days, he didn't bring his kippah, he still doesn't start out again.
No, we're not talking about starting again, but he needs 30 days growth of hair in order to be able to shave. We went before Rabbi Eliezer says he needs only 7 days, fine, but the point is he can't bring the rest of his karbonus right now. Continues the Mishnah. V'im gilach al shloshdan. Now, what happens if he shaved on all three of them, meaning he waited until all three of them were offered, and then he shaved, but nimsa echaban kosher, as long as it turns out that at least one of them is kosher, fine, tiglachdik shera, then his shaving is kosher, v'yavish ha'zvach, and then eventually he needs to bring the other korbanos instead of the possible ones. But so in other words, he's better off waiting not to shave after the first korban, because if that one korban that was done so far becomes possible, then he's going to have problems. But if he waits till all three, then so the Gemara says, Amar of Adar Bahava, Zoisei Meres, we see from Reb Shimon's opinion in our Mishnah, Kasavar Reb Shimon, Nazar Shavilach, Hashamin Adava, Yatzah. That Reb Shimon was going to hold that if a nazir shaved in connection with shalmei nedava, so he brought just a regular shlomim, not the specific shlomim of a nazir, just a regular shlomim without bread, not necessarily a ram, etc. If he shaved, Reb Shimon is holding that he's yotze. My timer, why would Reb Shimon say that? So because the Omar Kra, the pasuk says that he has to take his hair, v'nosan ala esha shetacha zevach ha-shlomim. It says he puts it on the fire that is under the zevach ha-shlomim. V'loy kosev al shlomov. It doesn't say on his shlomim. His shlomim would imply davka the shlomim that a nazir has to bring. Tak zevach ha-shlomim implies the shlomim of any kind. So therefore, Reb Shimon is saying that it means any kind of shlomim, as long as there was a shlomim, Reb Shimon said that he's going to be yotze. So the Chachamim disagree with that because they don't darshan the word that way. But the point of Reb Shimon was saying that as long as there was a shlomim, then he's yotze, and it doesn't matter whether it was the particular shlomim of the nazir. Tosfos brings a different posik. Tosfos brings a different way of Tosfos points out that the Gemara explains that there's a Gemara in Menachos that learns a hekish between a toda and a shlomim as far as a number of different details. So now we're also saying, therefore, that if he were to have a toda over here, then also he would be yotze because a toda is a type of shlomim. Okay. Shabbat, everyone.